So what's the point? Have you watched any of the videos on Facebook of like the Black Friday craziness? Do you ever watch those just for fun when they like break the doors as they run in? I mean, it's really sad. It's not funny, but it's like mostly a sad commentary on. I was watching one. I was debating whether showing it, and I decided it was almost offensive how bad it was. So I decided we didn't really need to see it together. But people were like throwing each other out of the way to grab television sets and jumping over things that the employees had set up to keep them out. I mean, it's just like, you know, and I know that you've all done that, right? I've done Black Friday once, we were really a good team. It was like five guys, so right away you know we're in trouble. And we went, and we got there a little bit later than we wanted to, and you know what we thought? Man, this line is too long, right? Which is like, duh, that's what Black Friday is all about. So we thought we could outsmart all other thousand-some people that were there. I bet they never thought about going around the other way. So the line was too long, so we went in, and we went to the like interior. It was Target, right? Wasn't it Target at Christiana Mall? And the line was outside, wrapping all the way around like the mall, almost to the restaurant on the back side. So we went in the mall, and we're like, we'll just go in the other way. And they had like the gates pulled. So then we went back out, and the line was even longer. But it was all right. That was my success story. I don't think I bought anything that night, actually. Just mostly walked around and watched Josh Robinson. He loves Black Friday. So is that what Christmas is about? Is it about finding deals? Is it about decorations? I mean, have you decorated yet? Anybody decorated? We did something new this year called flocking your tree, which my kids all think is funny because it sounds like a bad word. Man, that tree is flocked up. You know, I mean, that's what they were saying. So am I allowed to do that? Anybody who's new here is like, they just left. Look, someone just left. Sorry. But it's like you spray it with water and then you sprinkle sugar on it. It looked like sugar to me. I've eaten it a few times. It's some sort of glue with sparkle. By the end, it looks like it's snowed on your tree and your entire house. I had to clean up the snow, actually. It's the first time I've cleaned anything ever in our house. And it was like glued to the hardwood. That was really fun. Disaster stories? Anybody gotten hurt? Who was I talking to? I was talking to... Yeah, there he is. Oh, no, that wasn't the one I was talking to. The Connie's husband. Where is he? Yeah. He's in one piece. Okay, so you didn't fall off the ladder. That was our big discussion on Sunday as he was leaving. Ryan, right? Thanks. Sorry about that. He was like, oh, I'm going to go decorate and I'm injury prone. So, yeah, I get that. I send my kids to do the tree now, like the big one out front. If any of you drives on Chambers Rock Road, my tree is going to be lit up by lights, all right, soon. So, you know, what's the point? And so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about what I think one of the big deals is. But before I'm going to do a teaching a little bit different. I'm not going to do the reveal of what my main point is until a little bit later. All right? So I want to build towards it. So it's either going to be awesome or a huge letdown. One of the two. So let's talk about first. I want to talk about how you know if someone really matters to you. Okay? And I was going to show you this after I did this little tag, but Janine, she beat me to it. So it's okay. I know I did. I pointed. I'm sorry. So my kids matter to me. And how do you know if someone matters to you? Well, it's what you will do for them, right? Once you do, if you have kids, wouldn't you do anything for your kids, right? I mean, someone that you love, your mom, your dad, your spouse, your friends, the people you love the most, you would do anything for. So I wanted to see, like, when I think about what really matters to me in life and how I know is money, right? That's the number one thing for me. How much money am I going to spend on you? And I thought this would be encouraging for all of you parents at this time of year to realize how much money. So you can see there, and I feel like these are probably lower than they should be because this is about 5 years ago. But depending on your income, you're spending anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000. That can't be right. Why is this just hitting me now? In a lifetime, you spend way more than that. Someone smart out there, tell me. By age 18? I still think that's low. That's it. It can't include college. That's a lot of money. And then if you have, like, I have four kids, right? I mean, let's just split the difference, 300, 1.2 million, right? Alex and Heather have eight kids. You guys okay? I mean, that's a lot of money. Mandy and I always like to joke about how well we'd be living if we just hadn't had kids, you know? I mean, we could just go out to dinner whenever we want to. All right, here's another thing that we know whether we love someone or something with it we spend. We spend time. Okay, so I just was looking up, how many diapers do you think you've changed? Any parents in here realize that they change around 4,000 or 5,000 diapers per kid? So again, I just like to point out Heather and Alex. Well, let's just say Heather. Alex has changed 5, and Heather has changed 30,000 diapers in her life, all right? That is something to be excited about. 5 hours of driving a week, that is a bare minimum. Sometimes we drive 5 hours a day. Am I right? Okay, but bare minimum. So that's 140 days, okay, if you put it all together, 24 hours a day, 140 days, right? That's almost, it's getting close to half a year of just driving your kids to things. That's a lot of time. But I would do it. I would do more. I would do anything for my kids. I mean, really, they matter so much to me that I would do it. In fact, I'll tell you a story about something I did. So when Samuel was born, he's our first kid. And so because he was my first kid, I had never had any kids before, right? So I was a rookie. And we did this thing called natural birth at a birth center with no drugs because Heather tricked us and she lied to us and said it was fun. So we did that, and it was excruciatingly painful for me, just so you know. How was it for you? Not too bad. Okay. So they trained us in all, I mean, it was like very, you know, right? So birth center, they were like as soon as the baby comes out, you got to get the baby on your bare chest, and it's got to be that warmth, that skin to skin in class, right? So I took that to heart. So Samuel comes out, and they hand him to me, and I was like, wait, and I ripped my shirt off, and I was like, skin to skin, baby, let's go, you know, and Mandy looks over at me, you know, she's sweating and exhausted, and she's like, what are you doing? I got in bed and cuddled up next to her, I was like, they said skin to skin, come on. That wasn't embarrassing. That was not embarrassing at all. But I went for it. I didn't put my shirt on for a while. That was funny. All right, so just a really interesting story. This will probably embarrass the heck out of Samuel. But for the first like 7 or 8 years of his life, when we would wrestle and stuff, he would always ask if we could all take our shirts off and wrestle. All three boys, and I think it was some, I mean, seriously, I think something was communicated skin to skin, all right? And he has always wanted that. Nowadays, he asks me for a hug, he asks me to take my shirt off, I say no. Like, when he hit 12, we crossed the line there. So, all right, so what would you do? What would you do for people who matter most to you? And what I want to do is I want to just talk about the fact that Christmas is, it's a picture of how much you matter to God. It's a picture of what God would do for you. But that story, the birth of Jesus, is the culmination of a story that started 2,000 years before that. Okay? So we're 2,000 years on the other side. So I want to talk about something today that happened 4,000 years ago. I know that's a long time ago. We can barely handle this week coming up. So 4,000 years is overwhelming. But think about this book, Genesis. And a lot of you have heard of the book Genesis. You might not be familiar with the Bible. It's technically the first book in what we call the Bible today, but I don't want you to think about it as a book of the Bible. I want you to think about it as an ancient manuscript that the Jewish people wrote about their history. In this manuscript, the first kind of recorded time that we have it is around the year 2090 BC, okay, before Christ's birth. And then what they would do is they would write these down and they would copy them. And that's how we know that they're accurate. I could talk about that whole thing for a while, but I don't think you want me to. So we're just going to read a little piece from this. So back 2,000 years before Jesus, there's this guy named Abram, who you later know as Abraham, because God likes to change people's names. I don't know why. But he changes Abram to Abraham, changes Jacob to Israel, he changes, I don't know, some other people. So Saul to Paul, I knew there was one more. Simon to Peter. See, that's weird, isn't it? There's probably something deep there that if I was a deeper person, I would understand. Thank you. Shorter. My name would never fit on those stupid forms They give you like 100 letters for your last name and 7 or 6 for your first name. I was always either Christ Dunn or Christy Dunn. All right, so the Lord, that's true, that's a true story. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to race through 2,000 years of history. I'm just scratching the surface, right? So just try to keep up, but like, there's a whole lot I could talk about there. He's not a nation at this point. He's just a family, and he's being told by God, leave your home, and he says this. Now listen, at this time, Abram and his wife Sarah are super, super old, and even older than my dad at this point. And Dad, how would you feel if God told you that you were going to, you know, get married again and start having tons of kids, right? No. So he says, listen, you're going to have kids. In fact, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And not only will I bless you, I will make your name great. You're going to be famous, Abram. The only thing standing in your way is your name. It's too short, right? And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That is insane. Think about it. We read these stories. If you've been in church for a while, if you've been in the Bible for a while, you read these stories and it's just like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense that God would come to an 80-year-old man and an 80-year-old woman who's been barren her whole life and say, guess what? You're going to have kids so much so that the whole entire earth will be blessed by you. That's insane. See, God does impossible things through average people like you and me. He does all the time. So this is the beginning, all right? This is the first kind of promise of what Jesus is going to do. Say, let's go to the next slide, all right? And then after Abraham, you got all these people. You've heard of some of them if you've been in church for a while. If not, that's fine. Isaac is Abraham's son. Jacob is Isaac's son. And then Jacob has these 12 sons, and one of those sons named Joseph, they're like, you know what? 12's just a few too many. Let's get rid of one. So they say, we should either sell him or kill him. Have you ever had a sibling say that about you? Right? You thought you had it bad? Right? They pull Joseph aside and they say, hey, buddy, listen, we'll give you a choice. Death or slavery. No, they didn't give him a choice. So they throw him into a pit and then they pull him out and they sell him to slavery. He ends up in Egypt. If you know the story, he ends up in rulership in Egypt. He rises through the ranks because of his character and God's blessing and favor on his life. And so eventually, a famine comes that drives all of what had slowly started to become the nation of Israel into Egypt. And in that time, over the course of several hundred years, they multiply into millions of people. Now, are they a blessing to all nations at this point? No, they're a slave nation. They have no power. And so they knew those prophecies. They knew what God had said to Abraham. They're thinking, something's got to change. And they start to look to the future, to this thing. There's something that's coming, but we can't see it, but this can't be it. And then this guy Moses shows up, and he's this, you know, if you've seen the movie, right? Moses gets them out of Egypt, moves them along, and after, you know, a bunch of years, they end up in the land that originally God had wanted to take Abraham to. This was the culmination. So another just like, there's a lot of side lessons here as we go through the whole New Testament in 10 minutes, but side lessons, sometimes God's plans take a while, right? Abraham wasn't even alive to see the end of what God had told him was going to happen. They get in this new land and they start to have some kings. And the greatest king of all is this guy named David. You've probably heard of David and Goliath. And so David is a picture, okay? As David rules over Israel, they begin to bless the world. For the first time in Israel's history, they begin to be a blessing. And Solomon's David's son. And Solomon is so wise and so many things are going well that other countries start coming. And you start to see a glimpse of what Abram had been promised, that they would be a blessing to all nations. Next slide. But Solomon then begins to say, you know what, I really like being a blessing to all nations. In fact, I like how many nations like me. I'm going to start to worship some of their gods. I'm going to start to marry some of their daughters. And he starts to disobey God. And long story short, the kingdom gets divided into two countries. And they slowly start to get overtaken. But in the middle of this time, when it's divided into two countries, this guy named Isaiah comes on the scene, who's a prophet, and he says something very similar to what God said to Abraham. This is hundreds of years later. God says this, I will also make you a light to the Gentiles. Now, what are Gentiles? Gentiles are you guys and me, most of us, unless some of you are Jewish in here. Gentiles are everyone else, everyone who's not born a Jew, and that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So they're thinking, we can't even be a light to ourselves. We can't get along. We're separated. We're divided. Next slide. Not only are we divided, we don't even exist anymore. So Assyrians come in and they take over the northern kingdom. And then before they take over the southern kingdom, another prophet arises named Malachi. And this is the last technically book in our Bible, the last one before the New Testament. And here's another prophecy. God says, my name will be great among the nations. They're thinking, no, it won't. Your name is a laughingstock. You said you were going to use this country, Israel. We can't get along. We're divided. Heck, the top half of our country, Assyria, has taken over. And they've taken all of our best people. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place where incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations. What does that mean? That means anywhere in the world where people worship, people will worship me. How's that going to happen? How's it going to happen that he's going to... this thing that started with Abraham is going to be a blessing to all nations, is going to be a light to the Gentiles, that God's name will be great to the ends of the earth, and that wherever there's worship, people will worship this God. And then the Babylonians come, and they destroy it. Right? Next one. And then the Greeks come, and then the Romans come. So we've gone through a lot of history there. You guys, you can get an A+ if you can tell that all back to me. So, and there's more to say about all that stuff, but the Romans now have taken over the land that's supposed to be Israel. And you know what the Romans would do is they would kind of give you some self-governance, and they brought peace. They also brought roads and ports. At this time in history was the greatest opportunity. There was an actual port system where you could go anywhere in the Middle Eastern world easily. There was roads, there was peace, there was prosperity. And this is the right time. And so at this point, it looks like all nations will not be blessed. They will not be like the Gentiles, and God will not be worshipped throughout the world. And I want to just paint a picture of the expectation of the Jewish people at this moment. They've been hearing all these things passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. God is either a liar or something's got to happen. God's either a liar or something is going to break through. And there's a verse in the New Testament written by Paul, we talk about a lot, who says, when the set time had come, God sent his son born of a woman. And so when the time was right, see, here's another thing you can learn about God is God's timing is not our timing. And oftentimes, he's patient when we are not. And so, this is it. Nothing seems to be right, but God was continuing to pursue us until the time was right, and Jesus comes on the scene. So, the next verse. And this is the stuff that we get. And this is usually all we get, right? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus, and he will be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Do you get all these references now? His name will be great. His kingdom will know no end. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And there's other verses. He will be the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. And to this day, you could go anywhere in the world and say, who is this lady's name? And people will know her name. And this story is told. And wherever people are worshipped, Jesus is worshipped, right? Everywhere in the world. And this is the calling. This is the reason that Jesus came. This is why we celebrate Christmas, is because this wasn't just like Jesus is born and, oh, that was neat. This was a thousands of year long mission that God was on. A thousands of year long quest that God was on for you and your heart. For me and my heart. That he set out 4,000 years ago saying, I know Robert. And I love Robert. And I want Robert to know and love me. And so he set into motion something that didn't happen in Newark. This didn't happen here. This happened halfway across the world. He said, but even though it's going to happen here, it's going to be a light to all people in the world. Even though it happened here, my name will be great across all the world. And even if it happened here, I will be a blessing. Which, another side note is, that's now our job. Do you know that? We inherit that now as followers of Jesus. We're to be a blessing to all people and a light to all people. And we are to make God's name great. So it's great. I mean, okay, next slide. That's what happens when a teacher looks at the clock and realizes, it just laughs. Christmas is God's sign that you mattered enough to him for him to pursue you. I want you to hear that. I want you to take that whole history lesson home to think, guess what? You are important to God. You matter to God. You matter enough for God, to him, for him to walk through barriers to, what's that song we just sang? That reckless life love that will go through whatever it takes to get there. He's like the parent who is running after his kid. He's pursuing you. And not only did he just pursue you into Christmas, I would say part of the message today is God is still pursuing you. That God is pursuing you right now. That he knows the things that you're going through. We're going to talk a little bit more about this next week too, about how personal the message of Christmas is. But listen, in your life right now, everything that is going on in your life matters to him. He's pursuing you and wants to be a part of your work. He's pursuing you and wants to be a part of your relationships. He's pursuing you and cares about the little, what you count little, what you might think, God, that's too small to concern you with, that's too trivial to concern you with. He cares about. He's pursuing you in your future and your plans and your hopes and your dreams. He wants to be integrated and involved in every part of our lives because we matter to him, because you were worth it. Because you were worth it for God to set in motion 4,000 years ago a plan that would change the course of history. That's the message of Christmas. When you set up your tree, when you give gifts, when you listen to that Christmas music, could you connect a little bit with the 4,000-year-old mission of God for you? That you matter to him. That's why we celebrate the manger and the shepherds and the angels and all those things. That's why we set up those little trinket sets, is because God's on a mission. And can I just say, God's still on a mission through us? You know, you look at that. You look at God coming into the earth. He comes into the earth in a poor family of teenagers. In the most of the 12 tribes of Israel, the least of the tribes. And at that magical scene, you have shepherds who are like the lowest of the totem pole of workers. And you have these wise men who come in, astrologers. They're not Jewish. Right away at the beginning, you have Jews and Gentiles, men and women. You have rich and poor. You have, and God goes on to break the barriers of slave and free. See, the message of Christmas is that God's love came and pursued us and all people. You know, I mean, I think this is, if not, is more important and relevant now than ever. The racial barriers, Christmas is about breaking that down, isn't it? I mean, think about that. All this stuff in the media right now about, you know, these men who are manipulating and taking advantage and using their power to abuse women and see women as objects. Like, Jesus walked into a culture where that was actually okay and said no to that. He welcomed women as disciples to sit at his feet and learn to be some of his most powerful followers. I mean, he came with a message of love for all people. Whether you're in the church or not. I mean, the church has kind of become the Jewish nation of that time. And we love to close the doors too. Have we stopped being a blessing to all nations? A place where anyone can come worship and find Jesus? I mean, that's kind of the mission of City Light, right? To seek love and care for people like Jesus does. Jesus was constantly breaking the mold to find more people who need Jesus. All right. So the worship team should come up. Just so that I'll stop. They're like, man, this dude is intense about Christmas. Hello, we're just going to hear like the angels sang some songs wrapped in a manger. Whew. Okay. All right. So I'm going to like sum it up just to make sure that are we together on the same page? The point of all that. Is that you matter to God and that he's pursuing you. That's the point. You forget all that stuff I said, that's fine. If I told you I was going to lead up to it. You matter to God more than my kids matter to me. You matter to God. And there's a beautiful verse in the New Testament part of the Bible that says, he who gave his very son for you, would he not give more? Would he not give all? And some of you are having a relationship with God right now where you're sipping from the Dixie cup of God's love in your life. God wants so much more for you and me. And so get your mind in the right place. This is the God of all. I mean, you know, so wherever you are on this spectrum, like you're like, Christian, I don't believe half the things you said today. Fine, right? Can we just start to get a picture of a God who's pursuing you? I challenge you to find, and I don't mean to be offensive here, but find another religion where the God in that religion, the Godhead, the God figure, humbles himself so he can reach his creation. Humbles himself, gives himself over, says, you matter to me, so I will go to great lengths to prove my love to you. For God so loved the world that he gave wholeheartedly his only son, that whoever believes could have that eternal relationship with God. You and I were created for so much more than just getting through. And God is the key to that. Jesus is the key to that. And so, could we just hear it today? Even if you're new to church, you've never been to church in your life before, you're like, man, most of that stuff seemed like fairy tale stuff to me. I get it. There's a lot of stuff in the Christmas story that is like hard to believe. All right, we'll talk some more about that next week. What I want you to hear, though, if you set some of that stuff aside, can you hear that the message is supposed to be, even if people have gotten in the way and commercialism has gotten in the way, okay? The message that Jesus was trying to communicate is that he has been pursuing you for thousands and thousands of years. That he knew you would be here now, and he loves you, and you matter to him. You matter to him. And you can't really stop him. You think that you can, like, make bad decisions and screw things up and make it so he's tired of you or ashamed of you or would never have anything more to do with you. And you can't. I mean, you could try. But you matter so much to him that you cannot deter him. Let's stand up. During this last time, we call this the response and reflection time. What I would encourage you to do, you can sing along if you want to. I'd like you to spend some time just reflecting on whether you feel like you matter to God or not. Whether you feel like you're worth pursuing. Just spend some time reflecting on. Let him talk to you or minister to you. If you'd like someone to pray for you, we have prayer ministry over there where you just go over there and what happens there is you tell them what you want prayer for or not, and they'll just pray for you. It's not scary. So let's close our eyes as we finish. Jesus, thank you that you have loved us with a love that doesn't quit and that you have pursued us because we matter to you. It's hard to even wrap my head around that, but we matter to you and we thank you, God. Before we sing this song, if you just keep your eyes closed for a second, if anyone here today is like, man, I've never heard it that way. I've kind of always wondered, but I've never thought of God pursuing me, of me mattering to him. Now it kind of makes sense. Now some things are starting to click. Maybe been going to church for a while, but it's never clicked. Maybe you used to believe, but you spent some time not believing. If you want to raise your hand, I'd love to talk to you after the service just about giving your life again to Jesus or for the first time to Jesus, just becoming a follower of Jesus. Just raise your hand real quick. I'll come talk to you. We're not going to call you out or anything. Okay. So, Father, we love you. We ask that you would minister to us as we reflect this last song.